Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We're here again in our Grace Chapel building, ready to have a service again. And we trust that this will bless your heart and encourage you in the Lord. Praise God. Let's have prayer and ask the Lord to bless all of us and help us right at this time. There are many, many needs. We're not going to mention all the needs, but I think most of us know that we need to be in prayer for many situations happening right now. So let's bow our heads and we're going to ask the Lord to bless this meeting. Father, we thank you. We praise you that you are God. Oh, hallelujah. What will we do without the mighty God to help us in these times of need? Father, we don't understand what's going on in this world right now, Father, but we know that you have a great and marvelous plan, and we're believing you, Lord, that you will just bring us all through this situation and give us peace in our hearts and victory over everything, Lord God. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity we have tonight, and we're believing you to bless us tonight, Lord God, as we sing and as we bring forth your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.
Okay, if you have a Grace and Glory at home, we're going to turn to 165. 165, just over in the glory land.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land, there to sing God's praise and his glory share, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land, and with kindred saved there forever be, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. With the blood-washed throng I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angel band just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
All righty, 62. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon.
Jesus is coming, he's coming so soon. It may be at morn, or it may be at noon, or even at twilight, the close of the day. Jesus is coming in glorious array. Jesus is coming. Peace he will bring. Hail ye the summing. Praise ye the King. Through the earth and heavens, victory will ring. Oh, hallelujah. Let the people sing. Jesus is coming, the heavens will open, and we will rejoicing in this gladsome hope. The groaning creation will victory proclaim, anthems resounding with praise to his name. Jesus is coming, peace he will bring. Hail ye the summit. Praise ye the King. Through the earth and heavens, victory will ring. Oh, hallelujah. Let the people sing. Jesus is coming with shout from the skies, and up from the earth all the saints will arise. In beauty transcendent, his image to wear, all of his glory forever to share. Jesus is coming. Peace he will bring. Hail ye the summing. Praise ye the King. Through the earth and heavens, victory will ring. Jesus is coming to loose every band, the universe bowing at his least command. E'en Satan himself then his scepter must hold, mighty and glorious, the King on his throne. Jesus is coming. Peace he will bring. Hail ye the summit. victory will ring. Oh, hallelujah. Let the people sing.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is so good and so precious. Even when we go through hard tests and trials like we've been going through, yet he's always with us. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, people of God, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Oh, praise the Lord for the word of God that keeps us going at all times. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the blessing on the word of God right now. Father, we're trusting in you in the name of Jesus Christ to bless this message tonight. Just give us from these words just exactly what we need, the encouragement that you have for us, Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And what I'm going to be bringing tonight is, it's called the callings of the believer in Christ, the callings of God. God has called us all to be his children, but then he gives us individual callings of things that he wants us to do or places that he wants us to fill. But mostly we're going to talk about the callings of God for all of us as a whole. Every one of us have been called to be the children of the living God, all of us who know him as our Savior. And then we have other verses that are referenced. It's amazing. If you look at this word callings in your concordance or something, you'll see how many times it is mentioned in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. So we're going to begin reading with verse 8. It says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we see that the holy calling has been given to each one of us to become the children of God. It's inspired by the living God. Praise the Lord. And so Paul wrote this from prison. And in this book, he talks about his imminent death. It's the last letter that he wrote before his death. But he wanted to admonish again that the Lord who has saved us, notice that it says in that verse, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. We receive this holy calling not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us, Titus 3 tells us. In verse 10 it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Praise the Lord. So this holy calling is what we're going to talk about. And the word calling in the Greek, it means to call forth. So it's been the experience of each of us, I'm sure, before we knew the Lord, that when we finally came to that place where the Lord was dealing with us about salvation to receive Christ, he was calling us forth. It was like an invitation to us, calling us into this place of the holy calling. And the word holy means sacred or of God. This is a call to the children of God. Holy because God's call is holy. His voice calling a person to be his child is a holy thing, isn't it? And notice it's not according to our works. It's not that we were good enough. We were rotten enough. That's why he wanted to save us. But according to his own purpose, notice, in everything God does in dealing with us, he calls us, He leads us is always according to his own purpose. And that purpose, of course, is to create a church of the living God by people that are born again and receive Christ, and also, especially during this age of grace, to call forth a people that will become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of that in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation and many other places. So this was according to his purpose and his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. In Romans 8:28, which we won't turn to, but it's one of my favorite verses, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now here again, we have this word purpose, and this word purpose means his intention or his plan. And so we know that all of God, everything he has done in this earth has been according to a divine plan that happened many, many centuries ago, way before time, way before this world was made. There was held a mighty council and a determinate will of God planned. So before the world began, the plan for the salvation of those that would believe long, long time ago. So in the natural, a calling might be many different things. We talk about, what is your calling? If somebody asks you that, you might say, well, I'm a mechanic, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a preacher, or, you know, that's my calling. The president, no doubt, has a calling to be the president. A doctor usually thinks it's his calling. And so in Christ, the calling is to be his child, and then to grow up and to become spiritually mature in Christ. That's part of the calling of God. And that's why it's so important for us to take in the Word of God. The Word of God is our food, and it will change our lives as we take it in. Praise the Lord. So let's look in 1 Corinthians 1:26. Here again, we have this word calling. And it's interesting how here he's referring again that not all of us have the same calling. Now, we're all called to be believers, but after we become believers, the Lord may use us in different areas, in different ways. And so in this verse 26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So God doesn't just look down on people and say, well, he's smarter than she, or, you know, he's got a good vocabulary, so I'll make him a preacher. That's not the way he deals. A lot of times he will take someone that isn't gifted very much in those areas. I knew a man that used to couldn't talk very well, and he couldn't read worth anything, and he tried to get up and bring the word, and he would just mispronounce words and just have such a struggle. And you know, that man became a mighty preacher. God had called him, and he led an assembly of believers. You know him, actually. But we used to, when he first began to preach, we used to think, oh my, and he thinks he's called. And he was definitely called, wasn't he? Because God used him. It was so wonderful. Praise the Lord. So he says, you see your calling. Some of us have a hard time finding the calling. And after we're born again, you know, somebody says, well, I know that God, I feel like he wants to use me, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, the first thing is to learn the Word of God, because you really can't be effective in anything else if you really don't know the Word of God. So he says, see, you all have a calling, and the word see there means, and just what we think it means, but I like to find the meanings in the Greek. This means to look at, or to regard, or take heed. And so that's what the Lord has called us to do, is to regard what our calling is. And I thought of this scripture where Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. So each one of us have been chosen by God, and we have a calling. But he doesn't choose the wise of this world. He chooses a lot of times people that don't seem to have any talent, and then he makes them to be talented to glorify him. So they don't glory in themselves. And a lot of people that are really, you know, somebody in themselves before they come to know the Lord seem to keep on glorying in themselves. But in verse 27, it says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not to bear, bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So we see that so much, that God calls whom he will. Think of Apostle Paul, what a mean man he was, going around persecuting the Christians and hauling them off to prison and making sure that they died. He stood there and watched them stone Stephen to death. What a thing. And yet God had in mind for him to be the apostle of the church age. That's amazing. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. It's amazing to me when the Lord impressed this on me the early morning hours this week. When I asked him, I said, you got to give me a message. Please do that. And so this is one of the things that he spoke to me about the calling. And in this, of course, Apostle Paul again speaking here in chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Okay, so the heavenly calling, that's what we have. You know, part of Israel, those that don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ in this age of grace right now, will be earthly people. That the kingdom will be set up on earth, and they will be the earthly people here. Only one third of all of the nation of Israel will make it through the tribulation. And then at the end, when they see the Lord coming in power and great glory, they will be redeemed. They will receive him as their Savior, and they will go into that millennial reign of Christ, ruling and reigning on the earth with Christ. But to be a partaker of the heavenly calling, the word partaker in the Greek means a participant or a pardoner. And here we have this word holy again in the concordance that I looked in, saw my computer, and it said to be born again and consecrated. So we know what holy means. But it is, again, a holy calling. We're not called to just operate in our fleshly nature and try to be the best we can and all of that. But it is a heavenly calling, a heavenly calling. Praise the Lord. So again, called of God to come out from among the world and be God's child. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to go over to 2 Peter, which is on over. Sometimes I tell people where to go. Not in a bad way. All right. 2 Peter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 4. And here, of course, the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. I have in my margin up here, this is about 33 years after the cross that he wrote this book. So we're going to begin reading in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, which means under self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience, godliness, which means holiness, and to holiness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love, charity, and that's the word agape. And if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Praise the Lord. And so to make your election and calling sure, praise the Lord. The Amplified Version says, therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about His, the Lord's calling, and choosing you. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. For by doing these things, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth and will live a life that leads others away from sin. So our God has called us with a wonderful calling, and it's a calling to be His child, to be a son of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And this word, your election, sure. Let me see if I can read my margin. I shouldn't have brought it up because I kind of scribbled. But it means a divine selection, okay? It means a divine selection. God calls us and calls us to be His child. And then that is a divine selection. And we then believe in Christ. And then later on, He may give us another calling, a calling to do a certain ministry of some kind. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? So He says, wherefore the rather, brother than forget that you've been purged from your old sins, rather give diligence to make your calling and your selection by God sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. You shall never fall or stumble. Another word for that that's in the original is stumble. Okay. So, praise the Lord. Another verse that we have, and we won't turn to it, is in Romans 11:29. It was the verse the Lord first brought to my mind. And that is, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, what that means is that when God calls somebody, that they're always called. That's what He does. And that is not something that will change. In the Amplified Version, it says they are irrevocable, for He does not withdraw what He has given, nor does He change His mind about those to whom He gives His grace or to whom He sends His call. So that's a marvelous thing to think about. I know ministers who have started out preaching and then got out of fellowship with the Lord and said, well, I don't think I'm ever called to preach or I was ever called. Yes, they were. They were called to preach, but their flesh, they allowed their flesh to get a hold of them, and so they didn't abide in that calling that God had given to them. And so Peter's admonishing us here, that if we feel that we have a calling of God, for us to be diligent in that and just keep on seeking God. And I know that when I first started to preach, I know it wasn't very great. But, you know, I kept on going. And, you know, that's the way it is with everybody. But as we begin to bring the Word of God more and more and learn to study and really apply the Word to our own heart, that's what really makes it better. So we trust that the Lord has done that work in us. So the Lord wants us to realize that we've been called of God. The callings are of God, and He doesn't change His mind. There in that place in Romans 11:29, He's speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles. But it is true of us as individuals also. So in the Bible, there's a great example of God choosing someone. And let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. And I think some of you would know what I'm going to talk about, but it's about the Apostle Paul. And we just mentioned him a while ago, what a rascal he was. He was so self-righteous. He thought he was so godly and following God, and yet he was just very mean, wasn't he, and persecuting the Christians and beating up people. And in this chapter, we see him that he is going on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians. I'll read you a little note I wrote here. All through the Bible, there are stories of people that God called and used to lead and proclaim His truth to His own people. And we know that's true. Look at if you just start at the very beginning, think about Abraham and Noah before that. Noah, And then you go on to Moses, how Moses, you know, didn't think he could talk, and God helped him and, you know, and gave him ability. And then on and on and on through the Old Testament, God chose prophets and people to minister and to come forth and bring the word of God to people. And so in this place, we know that Apostle Paul was a man who persecuted the Christians. He sanctioned their deaths. He was glad to see them be killed because he thought that he was doing the right thing. And he was on his road to Damascus, as we read in verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Now, the pricks is an ox goad, and it was something they would prod cattle with to get them to go. The oxen, you know, were used to draw, to pull wagons and things in those days, and plows and everything else. And so he said that Paul was actually like an ox. It wasn't going, wanting to go the right way, and was getting pricked for it, getting punished a little bit. God knocked him off of his rocker, didn't he? Knocked him off his horse, if he was on a horse there. Some people believe he was. And verse 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Well, Jesus said in verse 5, we skipped that, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And then he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. So he was chosen of God, even though he was a rascal. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blinded by the light, the bright light of seeing the Lord. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. He had received the Lord on the road because he called him Lord. And that's submission. See, that's saying, oh, now I knew what I've done. And so he was there praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias that's coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And so then Ananias says, Lord, this man has done much evil, and he's persecuted the saints. And, oh, you know, and he's here on authority of the chief priest. They didn't have television or telegrams or telephones, but they sure got that message down there quickly. In verse 15, the Lord said to him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, the thing that happened to Saul that knocked all of that stuffing out of him, all that self-effort stuff, was the things that he suffered. He was so persecuted by everyone. All of his old friends were no longer his friends. And so when Ananias went in the house in verse 17, he called him Brother Saul. Notice that, because he had received the Lord. And he says, Jesus has told me to come here that you might receive your sight. And it says, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell in verse 18, from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then Saul was certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see how God chose him. He was called of God. He was chosen. And it's a wonderful thing also that you and I are all called of God and chosen. Each of us, as members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, after we receive Christ have something that God wants us to do, some ministry. And a lot of times it's kind of hard, it seems like, for us to get in that groove, to see what it is that he's calling us to do. But as we yield our lives to God and call out to him and say, Lord, what is it? He will show us. And later, Apostle Paul has special calling, didn't he? After this time, he began to preach the word of God, and there were great miracles and, oh, wonderful things happening, and churches being established. It was a wonderful thing. Glory to God. So I think all of us probably knew that story, but there might be someone listening to this message who hadn't heard that before. So in Ephesians, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with verse 17. In verse 17 of the first chapter of Ephesians, this is a prayer of Apostle Paul's for the Ephesian people, but it's very, very good for us also. He prayed it for all the people of God, really. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Okay, so the thing I want us to see there is in verse 18, where it says that you may know the hope of his calling. Praise the Lord. Notice that he says that there are great riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, we are wanting to go to heaven so that we can have our inheritance, the reward or whatever it is that he's going to give us spiritually there. But have you thought about how his inheritance will be us? We will be the ones that will be there worshiping him and glorifying him. And so remember that, what he is doing, his inheritance as the people of God that believe on him and accept what he has done. And what is the expectation of his calling? That's what the Lord says here, that he wants us to know, that we may know the hope, that word is expectation in the Greek, of his calling. Do you have an expectation? I hope each of us have an expectation. I do. I know that Jesus Christ is going to come again. And I want to be ready for that coming of Christ. And as I see this coronavirus happening, I didn't ever expect that we would have a terrible plague like this happen before the tribulation of 7 years. I never thought of this happening. The word in Matthew 24 talks about the pestilence that will come during the tribulation. But God is trying to work in this earth to bring people to Christ. And through suffering and sorrow and the illness and feeling bad, a lot of times people will come to know the Lord and turn their lives over to God. And so this is the hope of his calling. The expectation that he has is that his word is going to work in us. And the calling that he has given to us, he asks us to be his children, to walk with him, to be ready for his soon coming. That's the calling as it progresses into another phase. We're called to be his children, but now we are called to the out resurrection that he speaks of in the scripture. Praise the Lord. The expectation of his calling. In Hebrews 2:10, it says he brings many sons to glory. So he's bringing people to him through these trials and tests. He will have a people that are so dedicated to him as his bride. That's what the scripture teaches. They will be so like him through his working in them that they will know as he knows. They'll be able to really lay hold of the word of God that he knows. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4, let's look there. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Here it says, Well, Paul is talking in verse 1 about how he's a prisoner of the Lord, and he beseeches us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We're called of God, see? And he says, with all long-suffering and meekness, with long-suffering, lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so we are called here of the Lord for a special calling. Some of us, as I mentioned, may be called to be preachers of the word. Some may be teachers. As mothers and fathers, we should all be teachers of our own children. And you know, God can use us so marvelously. So there is a vocation. You remember what vocation means? It's a job or a thing we do. My vocation is to preach. Other people have different other vocations. But there are many callings of God. As I said, some may be to be backer-uppers of the ministry. You know, sit and listen to the word and say amen and agree and all of those things. There are many, many different places in the body of Christ. But we are all called into different places. And he says, endeavor there to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one hope of his calling. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. It says that in verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So again, that word calling, the hope of your calling. What is the hope of the calling? All my life, for way, way back, because I was saved when I was 5, when my dad was teaching about the coming of the Lord. And I have heard of the coming of the Lord all my life, and many of you have. But it's just something that's always been on my mind, that he's going to come. And that's what I am longing for. I am hoping for the time that when Jesus Christ is going to appear. And I want to be ready for that time. Praise the Lord. Let's look in Philippians, and we're going to read verse 8. Paul is talking here about being ready for the coming of the Lord and counting everything lost for Christ. He said this in verse 7. He said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, he wasn't going to let anything at all stop what God was doing in his life and through him. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And of course, we know that he's not talking about winning salvation here. He's talking about having a blessed and marvelous place with the Lord as the Lord's bride. In Revelation 19, it shows us there that Christ will have a bride. And this is made up of a company of believers who love Jesus supremely and yield their all to him completely and say, not my will, but thine be done. And he does the work. You know, as we look at our own self, we might think, well, how could I ever be in that place? But God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to look to Jesus and trust him to work in our lives, deep things, so that we can be there in that place, that calling, that high calling. Remember, it's called the high calling of God. Paul speaks of this race that we are running as believers, not for salvation, but to win this prize of the high calling. And it's in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And there, it's the same thing Paul is talking about here, not gaining salvation, but winning Christ in all the fullness of salvation. To know Christ as our bridegroom, our beloved bridegroom, and he will have a bride. Glory to God. Let's read on over in the same chapter of Philippians in verse 10. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now remember that Apostle Paul was in prison at this time, and he was beheaded for Christ. And he was willing to go that way. He was willing to suffer death if that was what God required of him. And of course he was. He was martyred, wasn't he? According to history, he was beheaded for Christ. And so he was willing to go through the sufferings and the trials. And he says, if by any means, in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And I just have to stop here and tell you, most of you know that this is the truth. But if you look in the Greek, this is the only place when it says resurrection that it uses a special word. And it means an out resurrection. That's what it means. An out resurrection. And it's not just talking about the resurrection of all the dead. It's talking about a special resurrection that the first rank will be resurrected and translated into the heavens. Praise the Lord. This was the resurrection of his dedicated people who were called and who make up that first rank. Those who have won the race and the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Notice what he says in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I press. That word in the Greek means to pursue as a racer toward the goal, running on to be with Christ. Praise the Lord. And notice it is high. That word doesn't mean you're like we think, oh, it's too high. I won't be able to attain it. What it means is upward. In the Greek, it means upward or on the top. And so the calling of God, this high calling of God, is a very special calling, an invitation to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And I think that this plague that we're seeing right now is the Lord trying to speak to this world that his coming is near. Praise the Lord. And so how precious it is for us to have this beautiful invitation of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us unto his eternal glory, the scripture says. Praise the Lord. So that's my sermon today. And all of you that are sitting at home and going to receive this, I trust it will be a blessing to you and that you will just yield completely to the Lord and be ready at any moment for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And we're going to have prayer now, and we'll ask the Lord to bless all of us and keep us in these days ahead. We have some hard things coming up, but we know that the Lord is faithful. He's with us, and he's so faithful. So let's just bow our heads, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're so faithful. Your word is so true. Oh, glory to God. We are so privileged, Father, to have the right to read the word of God. Oh, thank you, Father. I pray, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will just bless us all, that you will give us the strength that we need for the trials that are coming up in these next few days. Oh, God. We pray, Father, for the family that have lost their loved one, that you will just bless them and give them strength and encouragement, dear Father. And Father, we pray that each of us will walk with you and be an example to all of those around us, Father. Help us to be in victory. Help us to not let anything put us down, because we are the children of the living God. We have been called unto glory. We've been called as a heavenly people, and we praise you for that, dear Lord God. We worship you and thank you and believe you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.